Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here with week 58 of the Ham Radio Podcast.
And it is me, the Lone Vault Wanderer.
My name is Noah. I did not think of an intro, but I haven't been on for the last two episodes. I'm sorry. Fuck you.
No, you really missed the cast, too. Absolutely. That's very strange.
I've been good the last couple months, or like episodes have been good.
My mom is aware of how much Noah's missed the cast, and she actually asked, and I was like, no, he's been...
mom.
Yes, my mom.
You guys talk about... Well, okay. Continue the introductions.
We have a special guest with us this week.
Hi, Ellie. Ellie the Geek on Twitter. And I'm in a lot of physical pain right now because Maddie just ate a pizza in front of me, and I am I'm dead right now.
I don't even remember what it was.
I think it was like a baked ziti or something. Yes, something weird in New York.
Take a look at this.
You ever had buffalo chicken? You ever had buffalo chicken pizza?
No, stop.
I need to give an apology to Ability Drain. There was confusion because of time zones and daylight savings. I'll take it. I'll cop it on the chin. We're going to try and get her on another time. Again, apologies. My fault.
But a big shout out to Ellie for just being available. That was cool.
Yeah.
Props, Ellie.
We've been trying to get Ellie on for weeks. So fucking, yeah.
I'm sorry. I wanted to go on the Aussie cast, but I was fucking playing a video game for the first time in like forever.
That's not an excuse, Ellie. Sorry.
It is. I was so upset. You should have seen my reaction. I was talking to Nissan, and all of a sudden I just died. I was like, no.
I have a feeling we're going to get that a lot, Maddie. Her stories will start. I was talking with Nissan. Mm. They seem to talk a lot.
He's gonna get so upset now.
Nissan, we love you.
Anyway,
Nissan, you're
down below. You're all right, kid. Oh, speaking of that, he just went on Borderlands too. So sugar bombs down below. iTunes link. Speaking of iTunes, really cool news there. Lone, you're the
shirt
one who
store.
Found this.
Yeah. So
no, actually, quick shirt store update before anything is that we got utterly fucked over. They like completely shut down the store. Spazzy linked me and he was like, "Dude, what happened to the store?" And I clicked on it and none of our shirts are there. So we are going to revert back to our Spreadshirt store in a week or two.
Yeah.
So we have a bunch of new designs.
The link still works, but we have to put new designs.
I'm so confused. Why the hell did I do that?
I don't know. And I'm pissed.
So we got fucked over. But Spreadshirt link still works.
Yeah.
We just have to put new designs up. There's like three or four we got to put up. But
once we get this up and running, we're going to start like pushing it more. Because we had a lot of good shirt sales, you know, beforehand.
Well, not only that, but they're awesome shirts.
Yeah. They're awesome shirts. I wear them. Not because they're mine. But anyway, speaking of
iTunes.
We don't get them for
I'm
free.
I'm still waiting to get paid.
Like, we have to, we buy the shirts just like you guys do, you know, so
iTunes. So I was browsing iTunes in the podcast section and games, and our Ham Radio podcast was on the new and noteworthy section. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I did too.
And I think we're actually, like, just over the top 100 podcasts, gaming podcasts, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so a big thanks to everyone listening on the go. Just know that your support is going somewhere. should I leave?
Yeah, get out.
Canceled. Podcast is canceled.
God damn it, man. Now I really want buffalo chicken pizza. Fuck.
Why don't you order some like I did?
So, hold on. You Americans have the weirdest fucking pizza. Like,
what? Okay, what pizza do you eat?
I'm just kidding, Dad.
What pizza do you eat? What pizza do you have in Aussie land?
Like meat lovers pizza, like cheese, okay, margarita, yeah. Like the normal pizzas.
But then
you know?
Yeah. You're saying my big ziti pizza is weird? Is that what you're telling me?
You guys just put some weird shit on pizza. That's all I'm saying.
Because pizza goes well, with anything.
I was literally just talking to like Trex, right? And he's ordering a pizza and he's saying all these ingredients and I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
well,
you Trex put that
probably,
on a pizza?
Trex exactly. Probably puts like cereal on his pizza. I hope he hears this because it's like, I imagine him putting like Captain Crunch.
Yeah, I was going to say, he puts alphabets in there. Slices. Man.
Sprinkles in there. He like, puts like a can of SpaghettiOs all over it. Like,
see, speaking of SpaghettiOs, Ivan's a weird fuck. He eats those things cold.
Can I say this story? Because I remember it. I don't know if you were there, but it was Ivan, myself, and Tim. We went to Walmart at, I think you might have been there, Matt, but we went to Walmart at like 2 a.m., okay? And this was a long time ago. This was years ago.
I think I remember this.
And Ivan's like, dude, can you buy me some SpaghettiOs? And I'm like, Ivan, why? And he's like, dude, they're like two for three, dude. Come on, please. I'm like, all right, fine, Ivan. I bought him some fucking SpaghettiOs. He goes, we get home. He opens them up and just starts eating them out of the can without doing anything to them. And I'm like, Ivan.
Yeah, I remember he did that to me so naturally. I'm sitting in the basement. He just pulls out a fucking can of SpaghettiOs and starts eating it like cold out of the can. I looked at him. I'm like, what is wrong? Like, what the fuck
you can't
are you
just
doing?
Do that.
He's like, yeah, he's like, what? I like them cold. I'm like, no. Like cold pizza, I guess,
the
is one thing.
That
but
Noah puts on for Ivan. It's so fucking funny. He's like,
dude. Dude, can you buy me some?
Yeah, Ivan's like a dude. Like, you know, you give him like the deeper kind of like stupid voice.
Wanna come over and watch this movie?
Oh my god.
For Ivan, you gotta draw out the O's. For Connor, you gotta sound really stupid. And
Connor, Ivan, you drop the O's. Connor, you drop the IQ.
Oh my god.
Jesus, he gets so much shit.
I'm just kidding. I love Connor. I'm just kidding.
But not Ivan, right?
No,
it's just this enigma that you guys pay out all the time.
Anyway, each week we like to have someone on this podcast who can tolerate us. So tweet at any of the handles you see on screen with the hashtag HamRadioTime with your answer to the following question. What are your thoughts on the Wasteland Workshop DLC? Trick question. So speaking of Wasteland Workshop DLC, let's get into our Bethesda News Roundup. Let's talk a little bit about this Wasteland Workshop. There's been a bit of a backlash to it.
Oh, I'm so sick of negativity.
I understand. I understand and agree. But with that said, I don't think it's unjustified this time.
It was $5. It was $5.
But still, it's money. It doesn't matter. You're spending money on something and the product doesn't work that well.
You're spending $5. Like,
it's mods for a console before mods are out is basically what it is. It's not useful if you're on a PC, but if you're on a console, it's cool. It's neat.
Now, okay. But this is not something they sold us saying this is going to be some massive, huge thing. We knew exactly what Wasteland Workshop was going to be. They had a description about it. They sold it for $5, and that was in distinction to $10 for Automatron and $25 for Far Harbor.
The issue, the issue when I'm looking at the Steam reviews, it's not the content. I think people are okay with paying for these new assets and stuff. The issue is that the main feature, the arena mode, is horribly broken.
But it's not advertised as a, I mean, it's in that advertisement, but it's not advertised as an arena mode.
It's not advertised as an arena mode, but that was like the highlight. It's like, you know, here's all these new things you can build with, and you can create your own arena. And everyone was looking forward to that. What were you saying, Ellie?
Yeah, but
I backed up. I was, I saw that I seemed to be like the absolute hype point, and I've just noticed everyone, like, I haven't played it myself, but I've seen like it being all fucked up, and everyone's like, what is this? And I've noticed that like whenever they do release something, it seems to be the hype point and we always seem to get a little disappointed with it.
That's the thing though, is that for this, I mean, that the $5 price point plays into account in one area. It's like you should maintain your hype level. That is one thing. If you were hyped for Wasteland Workshop, what are you doing? But
thank you.
But with that said, it's still, people are looking forward to new content for Fallout 4 because it's a much more long-term project than a lot of us anticipated, and that's awesome. So when people get that new content, they want it to work. And when, like, the arena mode, what I've gotten, I get tons of tweets, like, saying, like, Maddie, I did what your video said, it didn't work. Maddie, I tried, like, the quitting siren, which, like, gets the settlers to settle down and, like, not shoot a creature when it comes out of the cage and let just, like, the arena combatant and the mutant fight. Like, sometimes that doesn't even work. The other issue is that I think the problem I've read is that it's just, you have to orchestrate the fight too much. It's not like you kind of pull a switch and these settlers on other teams fight each other. It's like, you have to put them on separate teams, fair enough. Then you have to separate them so that they don't see each other and shoot each other before you're done building the arena for them to fight in. Then if you build an elevated arena, they can't see each other. So you have to find a way to get them up into the arena, which is essentially what I did, was kind of working the game against itself by taking a feature that wasn't even designed for the arena mode, which is like the bell, ringing that so that everyone comes up and goes into the arena area and these two start shooting themselves. So for me, like, it felt like too much of a... It was a good idea, great idea. It just, they should have had the AI figure out how to do it itself in a sense. It just highlights what's bad about Fallout 4, which is its AI. Fallout 4's AI is not good.
No. Fallout's AI has never been good anyway. Like, it's always been glitchy, buggy.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
But the way I look at it is that, look, I've played a little bit of Wasteland Workshop. I think that, yeah, it's always shitty when games or additional content release and it's not working as intended. You know, I think the expectation should always be there that it'll be fixed eventually, hopefully. But I think we need to get, like, the games industry and the community needs to get to a stage now where no matter what is being released, whether it's by Bethesda or whoever, expect problems, expect bugs. Yeah. It always happens, so let's stop being surprised that it happens again.
No, I know. You know I agree what I mean? It seems that the culture is trying to shift to an over-exaggerative standpoint where it's like, what the fuck? I didn't
like,
expect
that.
You
killed
that.
My firstborn son! Yeah, like, oh my like, god! Okay. Like,
I'm not crazy upset.
And the Deathclaw won't fight this cat! You know, yeah. Like...
Yes! That's exactly what it is.
No, yeah, exactly. It's like, I get that people are upset about it. I'm not incredibly impressed with the DLC at all, but I'm not losing my shit over it. I'm not hassling Bethesda to fix it because I know what really matters is the one coming out in May. You know,
really matters is your friends and family and health and things like that, right? Like, these are just games. So
in terms of DLC, though, but yes, it's a good point that people should focus on other problems that can easily be fixed. But, you know, like I said, I had some of the Steam reviews up, and it is currently rated at mostly negative. This is 1,184 reviews. We have 765 negative reviews and 419 positive reviews. So we'll read a few negative ones, but also a few positive ones to see what people like about this. But this is currently under the most helpful reviews. So these are just like the top rated ones. So we have complete waste of money, hilariously small amount of items added, download some mods, and you'll have a more expansive workshop for free. Not entirely wrong. But this is from...
Okay. Can I touch on that?
By all means.
I'm getting a little bit tired of PC gamers pretending that console players don't exist.
Yeah.
Right? People on console don't have mods available. So when something like this comes out, console players are looking forward to it. So don't just say that, you know, is this something that a modder could have done? Yeah, maybe, for PC players. But there are millions of people that own Fallout 4 on console. So think of them too. Like, fuck. Come on. Like, I own a PC, but every time that I see something Bethesda does, everyone's like, well, this is something a modder could have done. But mods are only still available on PC. So just think of other people.
This kind of loops back to a discussion we had, but why do people get mad that you can mod these in? Like, shouldn't we be... I'm not saying thanking Bethesda, but shouldn't we be happy we have the tools to actually do that and that Bethesda provides them?
Like, yeah, because it's not like flicking a switch and mods are available. It requires a lot of fucking work.
Yeah. What else do we have? I only have one thing to say. When are we getting the creation kit? Okay, here we go. This one seems interesting. I wanted to give Bethesda credit for releasing a worthwhile content pack, but I can't. Because when you should break it down, this stuff is that A, should have been available for us to play from the start, or B, $5 worth of stuff that modders could have already given us.
Hold on.
He says, I swear, it feels like I just paid for a really nice, slick mod. Yes, paid for a mod. Exactly the thing that Bethesda tried to do that caused so much outrage they backed down. Is this stuff cool and slick and good for a game edition? Yes. Should you pay for it? No.
Oh, my God.
He gives it credit, at the very least. All right, here, this one seems like a more well-thought-out review. Not that the other ones weren't. The items added are nice. I especially like how the fusion generator made my power much more compact, and the concrete walls look great for both a fortified bunker look or an industrial sector of a settlement. Power doors, street lamps, both oil and electric, and the new mounted options are also great. However, the selling of assets already in-game seems super lazy. Candles, fusion generators, lanterns, and other items already had in-game models. Why only now in DLC are we seeing them? I understand that artists and designers have a lot of free time in the latter stages of game development, and what they make during them often becomes DLC, but this is hardly even that when half the items are already in-game. Not worth it. Search for a mod equivalent. So that sounds like a fair review to me. He yeah. gave it fair... fair credit to what it was. He liked what they had, but he also said, this stuff's here already.
Yeah, that is a fair review. You're absolutely right. But, again, I think it goes back to what Lone is saying with just, no, you know, acting like the console players don't exist, you know?
Yeah.
For $5, you don't have to fucking buy it,
but
you know?
Like less, it's just a bit over a cup of coffee. Like,
yeah.
What cup of coffee are you buying?
If it was like $15, I'd be like, this is fucking ridiculous.
what cup of coffee are you buying for $5?
Everyone would lose their minds.
Yeah, but for $5, if I had an Xbox One and I had this game, $5, not a big deal. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. I'm just saying, like, for me, when I think of, like, a $5 DLC, you know, I think of Hearthfire, and I thought that was good for both PC and console. I know that PC did have, like, player home mods, but this was, like, Bethesda had, it was, like, the foundation, like I said in my review, for the Fallout 4 settlement system, where they had, like, the, you collect items out in the open world, you bring them back, you build up your house. Like, it wasn't something that you've actually, at least according to my knowledge, seen in a mod yet, where it actually added something for both parties, and it was something that everyone could get around. So
Hearthfire was a good solid, but like not mod DLC. It added heaps.
Mm-hmm.
Those things didn't exist in Skyrim before. Exactly. You know, you could get your own house, but that was it. You know,
how much was Hearthfire?
Hearthfire was $5.
No, I thought it was more.
That was five.
Five? Really?
Yeah.
I don't think it was
Hearthfire. I'm gonna look it up. Yeah. No one corrected me in my review.
Yeah, let's. Oh, it's currently priced at $5, but maybe it was more.
No, it was always $5, because...
Okay.
I know if I fucked that up and got both that like prices wrong in my review, I probably wouldn't be sitting here right now. I'd probably be dead.
I can't speak to Hearthfire, because I haven't used it, so...
Dude, what are you doing?
Hold on, wait.
Sorry!
It's fun. I liked Hearthfire a lot, though. What I'm saying, though, is that... What I think Wasteland Workshop should have done is what I thought it was going to do, but, you know, Bethesda, I thought they would just kind of hide it, because that makes sense to not ruin the surprise. It's like, add different things for settlers to do. That's what I think is the fun of this settlement mode, because all I found myself doing was assigning them to, like, food, scavenging station, what else? Stores. Those are the only things that come to mind. If you added a bunch of other things to assign them to, like assign this settler to, like, a barber station, this one to, like, a tattoo parlor, and now I have all these things in my settlement... Like, shit like that would have been cool. But instead, you know, they kind of added assets to spice up the settlement. I like that, personally. I love the settlement mode, and I liked how they added a lot of things to, like, decorate your settlement with, so, like, everything doesn't look copy and paste.
Hmm.
But still, I mean, it's $5, so it's like, I'm not going to lose my shit, but it's also, like, it's not definitely a good sign, because it's like, I don't want to be... Because the issue is that it's like, oh, it's only $5, don't worry about it. I don't mean to go on a rant and just keep talking, I'm sorry, but you know, it's like, this is how bad DLC starts. You give them a free pass on something small and stupid, and then they do something big and stupid. That's how it usually goes, and I don't think that should happen. You know, I think they should learn very fast that no, if you're gonna sell us $5 DLC, it should add something to the game that's fresh for both parties.
Yeah.
You got something to say, come at me.
One could say that add something new. Okay, if we're just looking at the base model of game, you know, the base game, no mods, no anything, then it is adding something new, okay, mm-hmm. for both parties, in theory.
Yeah.
There you okay. go.
So we're not...
Shut the fuck up, Lone.
The devs shouldn't be like, well, let's account in mods, because people on PC probably have mods. Okay, yeah, they probably do, but they're not going to be like, well... What about the people who don't have mods or who don't really want to mess with mods on PC and just want something that's solid and they, you know, downloads real quick and you don't have to mess with anything? Because there are people like that, you know, who don't really want to mess with it.
I also think to some degree the mod argument is stupid, because you look at like Fallout, the Frontier, That's an insane fucking mod, okay? These modders are talented as hell. Yeah. Most stuff Bethesda does could be modded in to some form or fashion. That's why sometimes the modding argument gets stretched a little too thin. It's like, okay, I get it. But, you know, someone could have made a capture your own robot kind of thing and called it Automatron. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to minimize modders by any means because they work very hard and they do a great job. But I'm saying that there draws a line at some point where it's like, okay, we can mod most things into the game. But we also have to remember stability, polish, that type of stuff. Bethesda has a lot of money. So.
Well, okay, and every time people say that, oh, modders could just fix this. Why is it that modders can fix it? Why is that modders can add this in the thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's because Bethesda has spent fucking a buttload of time making it possible for their game to be modded. How many developers and publishers do that for their games? Yeah. Honestly, I can't count them in one hand.
I can only think of The Witcher, mainly because of Gopher. He does The Witcher mods. I don't know if he does that anymore.
GTA, it's very difficult. It's not supported for mods officially, for example.
There is
you can do it, but it's very difficult. Yeah. Like, what,
however,
what?
I've seen Rockstar talk about, like acknowledge mods on their Twitter, which is pretty cool to see. You don't see that often.
There's acknowledging on their Twitter, and then there's Bethesda, who is actually taking the time
Dying Light.
To give us a GEC for free.
Dying Light, yeah.
No, I agree, though. I'm just thinking, there's a decent handful, but it's not
obligated.
Yeah.
A developer can release something without it having to be modded, and I think it's a little funny when people get up in arms about it. Now, I'm not a mod maker, but, like, you know, again, like I said, it's not obligated.
I just think it's silly. Like, would you rather Bethesda to never release a GEC ever and just give you these types of DLCs all the time, make you pay for it? I mean...
No, because then they'll be like, oh, Bethesda's being lazy, allow us to mod your game. And then when they do it, they're like, oh...
They're lazy, because they're going to rely on the modders now. Like, shut the fuck up, like... Pick an argument, stick with it.
Ellie, what do you think? I feel like we're talking over you.
No, it's okay. I don't know. Like, I've heard that argument that, like, Bethesda's lazy for, you know, relying on modders. And I mean, there was a time where I guess I agreed with that because I was like, I feel like, I was scared for Fallout 4, and I'm like, obviously the DLC for the previous games, you know, they were really good and big DLCs, and then there were some that were like, yeah, meh. But I feel like, I really gotta play the rest of the DLC that has to come out to really have a full opinion on this. Because we actually see what they're going to bring out, what they're actually going to give us, until they stop,
yes.
we can't really make a judgment. Because they might give us a DLC that's insane.
Yeah.
You know, gives us maybe another 100 hours of gameplay. You know, like.
That'd be cool.
Exactly. Like, they could do that. They could just be waiting and building up that hype before they do that, because it's a large DLC.
I guess if I had one legitimate complaint, it's that I liked Automatron a lot, because, at least as it aged on, because I was like, wow, this is really a natural expansion of the game. You know, the quest line was okay, whatever, but, like, the mechanics are there, and I just think of it like, if I'm a new player coming into the Fallout franchise, which there's new ones every day, and I pick up Fallout 4, and let's say this is a Game of the Year edition or whatever, it's won enough awards to justify that. Say they have that and it's got all the DLC, to like pick it up for the first time and have all these things in it would be cool. But then I think like Wasteland Workshop doesn't, like, I don't want to say it doesn't add anything, but it just puts in what, if I'm picking up the game for the first time, should have been in there. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to revert to the argument.
Okay, let's put it this way, right? Where are all those people complaining about Wasteland Workshop when Gun Runner's Arsenal was released for $4? For New Vegas. Where were those people?
Well, Lone, it's some new Lone, it's New some Vegas.
New weapons, and new ammo types and recipes.
Yeah, don't you know, Lone? It's the best Fallout ever released.
And it
nothing
has,
ever
and it
will
has.
Ever
really
come up
reviews.
To it. Ever. Don't fucking...
All we're doing is feeding the trolls who think that we hate New Vegas, and we just get a kick out of it.
I love New Vegas. I think New Vegas had the best choice and story out of probably most Fallout games.
I've kind of just dropped trying to prove I like certain Fallout games. I've played and enjoy all of them. Suck
I
my
like
dick
Fallout
if you think
3.
Otherwise. That's all I say.
But do you see the point I'm making? Like, Gunrunner's Arsenal, arguably, probably adds just as much, if not less, than what Wasteland Workshop
way
adds.
Less. That's only a couple of guns in the canteen. Canteen was
like
helpful in hardcore.
New ammo recipes or whatever. Like, but other than that, what? So, you know what? Yeah. I'm done.
You're done?
I'm done.
That's actually, no, but that's...
That's a very good point.
Yeah, I never even thought of that. I guess that was in the
earth. There you go.
I'm saying that's...
Fuck you.
Wow. I guess I was in the earlier days where day one DLC was awesome. Like, I'll never forget, man, when I went to buy Mass Effect 3 at GameStop. No, I remember I told you this on Xbox the like moment after it happened. This girl swooned me into buying day one DLC for Mass Effect 3. She was
And that was her job.
Yeah, and I was like an impressionable young high schooler. So she was so attractive, and she was flirting with me, and she's like,
and she worked at GameStop.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And she's like, "You make me really happy. You got this." I'm like, I can shell out the extra $10. I can do it. I did it. And, you know. And then I walked out. I'm like, I feel like I just lost a part of my soul. What the fuck? I feel dirty. What the fuck did you do?
I feel dirty. I feel used.
Anyway,
Jesus. Unreal.
Anyway,
so that's I
guess at the end of the day, right now, I'm just a little bit drained of all the negativity. I'm getting to that stage now where it's constant.
I think gamers as a whole will always be somewhat critical, but I've noticed gamers as a whole have also gotten a little bit better and more self-aware. But I think part of the issue, and I love the community, but part of the issue is the Fallout community to some degree.
I wouldn't say only the Fallout.
Not only, but I'm saying I've noticed more and more when I
Call of Duty too.
I'm just saying when I first started YouTube, like, it was a lot of positivity, a lot of support, and it's over time gotten more cynical, more a younger audience, and I don't mind that. I like having, you know, new people come into the franchise, but I'm just saying part of the issue is I've also seen a lot more comments saying this community sucks.
That was itching.
Here's the thing. Okay. This is pretty much wrong with most of the gaming community, not Fallout only, but like across the board, Call of Duty, Battlefield, whatever you want to, GTA yeah. too.
Just mankind.
People are always going to compare it to something else that's taken more time to develop, whatever. And you have these like 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds not understanding how this works, you know, what it's like to make a game, what, you know, shareholders, this, that, the other, all this shit behind the scenes,
yeah.
you know, that we even barely understand. And then they feel out like they, yeah. they're owed something, mm-hmm. you know, they feel like they're owed something. And it's like, cause Matt, you and I were like this,
Absolutely.
You know, when we were like 15 and 14 and stuff. And then we understood it. We learned how it works now. We've gotten older. Nice. But it's these young kids that just don't fucking get it. So they want to spew all this hate. And then people are like, hey, this kid actually kind of has a point. You know, so then they're going to hop on that. And it's like it's like a spiral effect. And it's yeah. like, shut the fuck up and enjoy what you have, you overprivileged yeah. shit. You
like the younger generation, I feel like because they haven't played – like games when they were like sort of first becoming a really main, like huge popular culture, like they're used to games being like a lot better developed. I don't know if I'm saying this right, but like you get what I'm saying. Like they haven't sat down and played a game and it's literally barely a game, but it's like literally fun because that's what you're used to. Like that's the, you know, like they're used to the shit that's coming out now. So that's
they don't know what to compare it to. You know, yeah. I mean, you look at, okay, I'm not even going to go back that far. I'm not going to sound like an old man and say, well, I remember when, because I wasn't fucking alive. But like, you know, I remember when Halo 1 came out, okay, that was a long time ago, but I remember playing it, you know, and I played it a little, I played Halo 2 mostly is what I played, but comparing that, you know, and then moving forward and seeing the developments, not only in graphics, but in gameplay and learning that kind of stuff, it's pretty crazy. But because of that, we do see the negatives and we do see what we bitch yeah. about, which is like the season passes and, you know, the DLC and all that stuff. You know, 10 years ago, that wasn't a thing. DLC yeah. was barely a thing.
It's
and
like
now
a
it's a
thing. Like you had to go
yeah,
out and buy
now
it.
It's yeah, yeah.
And so that also relates to the quality of games because back in the day, right, when you released a game as a box product, that was it. There's no room yeah. for fixing. It has to be perfect, which is why that most of the times that they were. But there was still some space for problems. Like, for example, the original Pokemon had a butt ton of problems. But nowadays, developers know that they can fix things with mods and patches. Like, for example, they'll package a game. It'll take months to get out to stores, but they can still continuously fix it and then release a day one patch. So because of that culture, games are able to be more grand. They're able to have, you know, bigger worlds and more features and stuff because right. they know that they can eventually fix it. Yeah. If you go back to older games, they were much, much simpler. Games are much more complex.
Well, and that was due to, you know, technology limitations and whatnot, obviously.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you also have now, you know, shareholders. Now that existed before, but like people, publishers pushing developers to get this stuff out. Okay. Yeah. And it's not a quick thing to do, you know, and you look at Assassin's Creed and stuff like that. And I'm sure they were sat on by, you know, plenty of people higher ups on Ubisoft to get that shit out and pump it out. And then, you know, we got 2 in 1 year and it was absolute shit. You know, both of them were buggy as fuck. One for old gen and one for new gen. And it was, again, it goes back to these just not polished, pumped out things that need to slow down. Again, that's not really the developer's fault, though. You know, and I think sometimes people mislead their anger, you know.
But it's just, there are so many competing interests, like, you know, getting a game out for a certain holiday period. Again, as you said, Noah, a lot of publishers are publicly traded companies, so they have shareholders that they need to bear in mind, and they might even change the content of their games according to the wishes of their shareholders and investors. So it's a completely different world, and it's not a cut and dry answer. Mm-hmm. I think that nowadays gamers just need to be a little bit more cognizant of the fact that, yes, sometimes when a game is released or additional content is released at launch, it's not going to run perfectly. There are, even for, especially for a multiplayer online game, there are always, always, always going to be server issues. I don't care how careful a developer is. There will always be server issues.
That's why I got so pissed when The Division launched. I knew there would be server problems. And like everyone, when The Division launched, servers crashed for, I'd say,
and everyone,
I'd say, like, surprised. They were, and credit to Ubisoft, I'd say they were offline for probably, like, I'd say, like, an hour or so, which really isn't that long when you take a long-term picture into account, and people were flipping the fuck out.
I know.
And I'm just, I'm like, why are you surprised? This is one of the most anticipated games. It is now their best new sell, or actually, it is officially the, out of all games, best new selling IP. It is a big game. So if you've got like fucking 10 million people checking in at once, they are going to, their servers are going to shit themselves. It's going
to
happen.
Like, there's no way to test for that. There's no way to test for that unless you give the game out for a beta, for example. But sometimes developers don't want to do that because they want to keep everything a secret until launch.
Yeah, although now that's becoming a constant, betas, which aren't, they're not even
like
betas.
For Doom.
They're
like
just,
for Doom.
You know? Okay, Doom is an actual beta, but like it's becoming a thing now. Ubisoft, where they'll release a beta of a finished game. It's not in beta, but they release it as a demo, basically, and they want people to play it, and it boosts sales. I mean, it works like a charm, you know. But that's what it is. Don't take it as like you're a part of the development process.
Well,
and if they are testing something, they're testing servers
because
they're not
testing the
game.
It's a bit of like an exclusivity feeling. Like I'll take like we've gotten like early access to things. Games and whatnot before, but like, no, when me and you, I'll say, for example, when we were playing like the Battlefield 3 beta, like we had this good feeling. We were like, we are a part of this.
It did exactly what it wanted us to feel.
So,
you know, we felt like we were a part of the development. And I think, I'm not saying betas are a bad thing. I mean, if it's a free beta, cool, you know, go for it. But like,
has anyone ever had to pay for a beta? Is that a thing?
Well, there are pre-orders.
True. I was about to say pre-order to get into the beta,
which is kind of
stupid.
BS. Didn't Division? No, Division had a free beta. Never mind.
Yeah, Division had a closed alpha.
Well,
and then they had an open beta. But I feel like when someone says alpha now, that's the new beta. You know, and a beta is like the finished thing.
Well, you know, these terms aren't defined anymore, like at all. So it's very difficult to call something a beta and alpha. Anyway,
An alpha is considered something that has like the full stuff in the game, and then a beta, like a full all the stuff in the game, but not tweaked. I don't know how to put it. It's hard because I say
like the
that
bare
but,
minimum.
But stuff is still added. Yeah, it's the bare minimum. The
of the functional product.
The things are functioning. Yeah, but not. Yeah, and then like the beta is just.
This is basically the game, but we need to work on more.
Yeah.
Gopher just released a video. Is Fallout 4 a good game?
Oh no!
Anyways, keep going. It's a 17-minute video.
Speaking of beta, we have the Doom open beta this weekend. If you guys are listening to this now, for those who are listening to the podcast, it's basically going to end today. So just keep that in mind. It goes on from April 15th to the 17th. So if you haven't gotten your Doom fix, go on and do so. But with that said, there's a lot more Doom news this week. They're really ramping it up. And they revealed this week the progression and customization system in the game. Now, we did get a taste of that during the closed beta. And like I said, fans are going to get a taste of that during the open beta. And so I just want to read some quick blurbs from the Bethesda Net article. So what's interesting is, first off, they say to rank up, you don't have to be the best player or on the winning team. Half your XP comes from just showing up and staying through the match. The other half is your kills, your challenges, all that stuff, which I think is interesting. So you have a really good game, you get a ton of XP. Half of that is devoted to just showing up. Next is that once you hit level 50, which is the level cap, you'll receive your first echelon. Your level then resets to 1, and you become echelon 1, level 1. But even though your level resets, you won't lose all the gear you've unlocked. Everything you earn stays with you. Each time you gain an echelon rank, you'll unlock a special insignia denoting your echelon rank to other players so they'll know what they're up against, which is basically prestiging it, prestiging in Call of Duty, ladies and gentlemen.
I think I'm going to get fucked up.
Yeah. And then they confirmed 300 pieces of armor in 5 distinct themes. 90,
that's awesome.
90 primary and secondary paint colors, 50 paint patterns, and 125 taunts.
See, and I love this because I'm an aesthetically pleased person.
Same.
You know, in this kind of stuff. No, I am, though. That's blatant to say because everyone is, in theory. But what I mean is when a game
I'm
has...
really
like,
shallow.
Well, no, joking. What I mean is when a game has, like camos and armor differences
I
and
like
colors
seeing
and stuff,
the change.
It's fucking cool. Yeah, it's like, it is. Yeah, this is what I have, and it's you don't have it. It's cool. You know, it's neat. It's like, I don't mean I do it in real life, but it's like...
No, you're right. Like, even when I first played the Doom closed beta, I spent an hour customizing my look and my guns and all of that to make them look cool, yeah. Right? Because it makes you feel like an individual. Like
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, gives you your, like, identity in the game.
I hate RPGs where you get new armor and your character looks the same. I hate it.
Yeah.
The Division does it where you get, like, new armor and it doesn't change, but the thing that changes is, like, clothing items. I'm like, I fucking can't stand that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm with Noah. I like seeing the change. So seeing... I don't know if you guys watched the quick, like, minute and a half trailer that they put up, but... It's just like them going through all the options and stuff. It's really impressive how much customization.
Is it different to the closed beta?
I played a little bit of the open beta last night because Connor had never played Doom yet. Because you know we got special access to the closed beta, but obviously now the public can access the game. So we played it on PS4 for a little bit. I noticed some tweaks personally. I noticed that maybe it was just because I was playing on consoles, but I noticed. It took a little bit to get used to the gun damage because it felt like people were dying a lot faster, way more fast than usual, which was strange to me. Yeah, it was ridiculous. I don't know. I'm probably wrong. I'll admit that, but it just felt that way. Just felt that way.
You'll admit that.
Yeah, but I won't. What? What?
Nothing.
fucking
I wish all you could see Noah's face.
One day we'll get cameras working. Mm-hmm. Once Sloan stops being a pussy. I'm just kidding.
No,
just
like
kidding.
A kangaroo, like a I'm video of a kidding. Kangaroo like grazing.
Now, you don't want to do Ellie. I'm going to do exactly what I did when I took a photo with you. I wear my Vault Boy mask.
Yes. I have a kangaroo mask. I bought one.
Can you send that to me?
Okay.
What
my kangaroo mask that I spent my money on. Thanks. No, I will bring it next time we meet up or something. Cause like, that'd be great. Take a photo in it.
Are you gonna post another one on Twitter?
Yeah. No.
Excellent.
That'd be hilarious. I'll give it to you if you want it.
All right. Done.
It'll be hilarious.
Other than that, I didn't notice anything different in the Doom open beta, personally.
Is it still a fuck ton of fun?
Yes.
Is it just... Yes. Great.
But what's interesting is that... And Connor didn't, like, really pay attention to any, like, quote, negative feedback Doom got. But, like, he said, is it bad to say that this game is kind of like Halo 5 in a sense?
It does...
And a lot of people have been saying that as, like, a slam to Doom. And I thought that was interesting that he just made that observation right off the bat.
See, I don't think that's a bad thing, though. I mean, hey, if you like arena shooters, you like Halo, you'll probably like Doom, too. You know what I mean? It's like Halo's an arena shooter.
And it's just the look. Like, might look like Halo, but it does not play and operate like Halo.
I think it's the armor customization that... I thought that's what people were saying when they said Halo, because in Halo 5, there's a lot of the, you know, microtransactions in Halo, which are not in Doom. They confirmed that already, but, you know, I think it was in Halo 5, you had the requisition packs, you get new pieces of armor, and you customize your character. In Doom, you do same thing minus the packs, you just get new pieces of armor and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, I thought that's what people were saying with Halo 5, because if Halo 5 was that fast, I'd probably play it more. But I like Doom because it's very, you know, like, very quick.
It's very arcadey, right? Yeah. Like, it's just very quick. Yeah.
Well, and that's its, like, I feel like that's its root.
It is.
You know?
Yeah. At least I've heard that multiplayer was its Doom root.
Yes.
Or was Doom's root, rather.
It's almost like Unreal Tournament. Like, that same
kind of... I've constantly drawn those comparisons. I'm not saying it's exactly like Unreal Tournament, but that's the game I compare
it
to.
It has the goods of Unreal. Yeah. You know, the positives of it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Like, what's it made in? Isn't it made in...
id Tech.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So it looks like Unreal, but I guess that's a good thing. I mean, Unreal is a good looking engine.
It was Unreal Tournament is made by Epic. Same guys that did. Okay, cool. Anyway.
Next piece of news. We'll save this one for last. So let's just get this quick one out of the way that Fallout 4 meets Forza with the new Rocket 69 car.
As a Forza fan, I'm happy.
I saw it. I thought it looked cool. I like it.
Yeah, the trailer was cool for it. I watched it. I don't know why. Cause I don't like Forza.
I love the Rocket 69 song.
Yeah.
Honestly, the only racing game I found myself enjoying was... go on, no. I can already see your face is going to gradually develop. I liked...
You better say what I...
Burnout Legends.
That's fine.
That was a cool game.
That's an arcade game. And it was a cool looking game. The reason I like Forza is because it's a simulator. It's not an arcade racer. So the difference is I pay attention to different... Like, the way I play Forza is I turn all the assists off. I put it on manual with clutch. You know, so you have to pay attention. You're not just holding a trigger. You have to, like, hold it, brake, shift up, shift down, whatever. You know, and it's just more fun that way for me. You know, if I played it with all the assists on, it'd be fucking boring. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can make Forza really fun. I don't know. I have fun with it.
It's got to be popular because, you know, they sell it all the time and it sells well.
If you like cars, it's an awesome game to play without having to pay attention to, like, a story or anything. Just to kill time, just play Forza, you know. Well, it's like a calmer version of Call of Duty. Like,
I used to solely play racing games during one stretch of time. I think it was like 10 or something. And the games that I fucking loved the most were the Need for Speed games, like Most Wanted Underground.
See, and those arcade racers. Those are awesome.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So I prefer the arcade racers over the simulators.
Well, yeah, Need for Speed during the PS2 era, they killed it.
What a great game.
Need for Speed Underground, the first one, was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even Most Wanted, though, like, I love the fact that when you race the boss, you got their car. I thought that was just the coolest thing ever.
They had really cool customization, which we didn't see much at that time.
Yeah. But Matt, you saw, like, you remember when I played Forza 4 with, like, Tim all the fucking time.
There's
a point where I just didn't play, you know, Call of Duty or anything. I just was playing Forza.
Yeah. Because that was like, it was either Call of Duty or FIFA or NHL. And like, I'd come on and be like, all right, Noah, time to get off. Let's play a game together.
Yeah, those are the fucking days. FIFA. Now I'm sad, Matt.
FIFA.
Just kidding.
I just like to highlight that the first time, before I got, you know, into sports a lot more, Noah and Tim convinced me to pick up FIFA 13.
And you liked it.
And my first ever pro clubs match, I sprint down the pitch and score. I couldn't believe it. They did a fucking boot and just went poof, top left. I was like,
"Do you remember that?" I remember we always used to blame Ivan too because he would shoot and miss, and we never trusted him
because he didn't understand that you had to just hold B for a specific amount of time. Because mind you, ladies and gentlemen, Ivan Medwood, open net, standing right there with the ball. It was literally like the distance between yourself and your computer monitor or whatever you're listening to this on. Pretty close distance.
A foot away. Yeah. And the ball would go. And
he skyrocketed this thing over the net somehow.
He would choke so hard.
Yeah, he would never blame the game. He'd be like, oh my God.
Like, no, you're just going to fucking laugh at me. I'm not playing. You know. Those are the days.
NHL. What do they have?
We had NHL 12.
The EA Sports Hockey League. That shit is so good. I still play that.
We played NHL 12 a lot, and I remember making my guy like 6'5 on the ice, and it was like a fucking gorilla was skating down the ice. See, when I checked someone, and they fly across everything.
What was funny is that the game actually accounted for his height and his weight at the time. Yeah. We're like, he like would just skate into someone, because if you have to hold up on the right stick, that's when you go for a hit. But yeah, Noah bumped into them. They fall off the puck and just drop everything. But Noah was so slow.
It's like a steamroller. It was awesome.
They took that out, though. It's stupid now. They have like classes in it. And so like you could be like playmaker, sniper, like all this stuff. And it makes the game more balanced. But like I kind of
want to make a gorilla.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like the customization. Anyway, on to Bethesda stuff. Final piece of news. Elder Scrolls Legend is, quote, getting closer but not close enough to show it yet, end quote, says the lovely Pete Hines. Thoughts?
So super interesting.
Oh, man, I'm so hyped.
Really?
No.
that was unbelievable.
I don't know. I have no idea whether I'm usually like a humongous fan of anything that's related to Elder Scrolls, but Legends, since I heard about it, I've been really on the fence. I really haven't.
All right, so what really, is
it?
I'm really.
What is it?
Yeah,
I'm really curious to hear Ellie's thoughts, because you know I'd say I'm a big Elder Scrolls fan, but I'd say you're bigger, so I want to hear what you guys
like.
Say.
It's weird. It's a strategy card. It's not related to anything that I've ever seen from this. Fucking thing. I'm just like, I don't
so
know.
Think like, all right, think of it this way, like one of your cards can be Maik the Liar. Is that appealing?
That hypes me and like a Shayo card, or like, you know, like that hypes me, but I don't
Shugorath,
know.
You know, like
I collect the cards just so I have the cards on my wall. I feel like that's what it's gonna be. I feel like I'm not gonna actually
it's digital though,
it's
isn't digital. It
but I would imagine that there would be like, I don't know, yeah, I feel like they thing? Might be. Yeah,
ooh,
I don't know. Like,
I'd be game. Like, I could do Elder Scrolls Legends unboxings. I could be that YouTuber with like the
become one of those.
No, I'm gonna become one of those YouTubers. I'm gonna have the psychedelic background, my face like that, like shocked at some card I got.
I'm not gonna. Yeah, we're not.
Rare Shiogorath unboxing. Yeah, okay, oh my god.
We're not gonna name channels, but we know those channels.
To be fair, there is one stage where I was just like into Yu-Gi-Oh for some reason, and I watched Yu-Gi-Oh unboxings. Like, and the stuff that these guys would draw, I was jealous. But anyways, that's me and my guilty pleasures aside.
No, I was like that too.
For me...
It was so long ago, but yeah.
For me, Elder Scrolls Legends has a unique appeal as like a stream game. That sounds like a fun like kickback and stream game. Because a lot of people stream Hearthstone.
Hearthstone, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Hearthstone's fun!
Hearthstone was all right. I went to like EV Games there, like for the past 2 years at EV Games Expo, there was a booth, and it's gotten larger every time they've shown up. It's becoming a lot bigger, and I sat down and I watched it again. I'm like, it's not actually that bad.
No, Hearthstone's fucking awesome, and it's so easy to learn. It is stupidly easy to learn. Hard to master, but fun to learn.
What's appealing is that it's like on everything. iPhone, iPad, PC.
And it's free, and it's not a pay to win. I have not spent a dime in Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. You know, and I have fun playing it. I don't play it that often anymore, but there was a time where
I
streamed it a lot.
For the long-term listeners out there was a point where every week Noah was like, yeah, I'm playing Hearthstone this week.
Or Hearthstone, yeah. It was like a good, like, 2 month period. I'd like to play it.
I don't know what Elder Scrolls Legends is going to go for. Are they just going to try to take out Hearthstone? Are they going to try to separate themselves from the crowd? Because, Fallout Shelter took people by storm, you know? So
yes.
I think Bethesda knows that if they're innovative enough with the mobile game, they'll find success. So it's like, how innovative are they going to get?
Yeah. Also, I think people get into it. It's like stuff like this, people get into them like heavily.
Yeah, I'm not going to judge it yet because I feel like I could get into it. Because like for me, Hearthstone wasn't appealing, but for me, like digital card games in general actually just aren't appealing. Mm-hmm. But like an Elder Scrolls one. To me, that sounds like my cup of tea. Because
you
like,
already have a connection with it. Like,
that's
you'll
thing.
Look at the cards and you'll be like, yeah, I know that. I remember that from the game. So it pulls you in.
Yeah.
And I feel like that'll be the case for some people, but I don't know if is it going to be big enough to do that for everyone. Because you look at it this way, people could have said that for Elder Scrolls Online. That didn't work out.
No.
Yeah. I personally like it.
Yeah, I'm not afraid. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not afraid to admit it. Sue me. I enjoyed Elder Scrolls Online.
I actually really enjoy it, and I sat down and I spent 17 hours straight playing it. I'm not even going.
I will emphasize that I don't enjoy it that much.
I got up and got food, I swear. But, like, I was on it. I was, like, in this dungeon, and I just, like, I was involved in it was fun. I did it, and I felt so accomplished.
I bet.
Shut up. It was fun.
So anyway, that wraps up our Bethesda news. Interesting way to conclude it. Next segment, what we're playing, favorite news bit. Who wants to go first?
Can I go first?
Sure.
All right. So what I've been playing is actually Forza Horizon 2. It was on sale on my Xbox, so I picked it up. And it's pretty fun, you know, some racing game. Not that much to go into.
Is that like an arcade version of Forza?
What?
It's like Forza Horizon is like the arcade version of Forza.
It's not arcade. It has the same physics. It's still a simulator. Yeah, it's just open world. Okay. But news is that the supposedly the Red Dead Redemption 2 map has been leaked.
Yeah.
And it is pretty gnarly, guys. It actually is on a coast, which is pretty neat.
I didn't read any of that article. Just I heard that it was somewhat credible. And so if you want to give me the details, Noah, I'd appreciate that.
Well, I didn't read all of it either. I just took a look at the map.
I fucking just saw this link that Vault of Data was put in our group chat. I'm like, oh shit, Red Dead 2.
I just looked at the map mostly because that's what I was curious on.
Where is it even set?
That's a great question, man.
Oh my gosh.
If you give me one second here, it doesn't actually say where it's set that I'm seeing. Oh, well, it says, again, the Great Plains are in it, again, where the Blackwater settlement was, if you guys remember that.
Of course.
It sits at the top right of the map. So it looks like it's actually taking where Blackwater was and kind of, like, shifting it down or, like, exploring more. I don't really know how to explain it. You literally, it's the Great Plains again.
They need to remaster the original Red Dead. I think that's what they need.
There's definitely a lot more rivers now, or like that I'm seeing. There's a lot more rivers. There's a lot more water going on, which is interesting.
So, if it's including previous locations from the first game, do you think that means that they're continuing off after what happens to John Marston and his son?
I mean, don't spoil it.
I'm just saying. After what happens to him and his son.
Knowing Rockstar, it's probably going to be a whole new character.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. My curiosity, and it didn't say this in the article, but my curiosity lies in when it takes place. If it's a couple years, like a good chunk later, like 50 years later, you know, because then you're going to have a lot more like technology and stuff going on. You know, you possibly see not a bunch of cars, but possibly see like some old cars and stuff like that, you know, which would be kind of neat to see.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, but they may not do too far because again, the Wild West is kind of the roots of Red Dead, you know, so we'll see what happens, but
they're definitely going to do something with it soon because they've been like, Rockstar's been like undercover, like, up-resing games and stuff. Like, they did it with Bully and Manhunt out of nowhere. They just put them on the PS2 to PS4 thing, and a lot of people really enjoyed that. So they got to be bringing Red Dead to backwards compatibility for Xbox or something like that. Because I would play it at that point, you know, because I that's a game that I feel like I owe the time to play. I've tried, and I've gotten salty on the podcast about it, but with that said,
you got real salty.
From what I'm seeing on the map, it actually looks like it's more of a northwestern, like American northwestern kind of look. And you also travel to different continents. Or not continents, but I don't know. Because it's not a real place, so it's hard to tell where it is. You know, but it looks like you travel by train a lot. The train is coming back from what I can see.
Cool.
Yeah, it's neat. We'll post a link to that article.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can take a look.
Yeah, I'm curious because if they announce a sequel, then I'll go play the first one.
I'll be back, guys.
This is one of those things, though, where I feel like the game is not going to come out for a while.
Yeah, because they've been focusing on GTA Online so much.
Well, they could have separate teams, but again, well, Rockstar
North.
North did?
I think GTA.
Hold on.
Ellie, do you like Red Dead?
Go ahead and talk, yeah.
You know what? I haven't played it. And I remember I attempted to watch a playthrough, and then I didn't. So I was close.
You should, it's one of those games you have to play. You can't really watch a playthrough. You have more fun playing it.
Yeah, I think that's why I probably stopped watching. I was like, it's more of a I play sort of thing. But I don't know. I could see myself getting into it.
Rockstar San Diego did, what's it called? GTA. Right? Oh, Rockstar San Diego and Rockstar North looks like did, Red Dead.
Okay.
So odds are they're the ones doing it again, and then they're Rockstar North also did stuff with GTA 5, but I don't think Rockstar San Diego did anything with GTA 5.
Who did Midnight Club? Someone
who gives a
you're
fuck?
You're asking a lot here.
Come on, guys.
Who gives a fuck about Midnight Club?
Talk about racing games. Midnight Club. That was
San
shit.
Diego. Rockstar San Diego did.
Thank you.
And Rockstar London.
Thank you. Good old Brits.
Rockstar Toronto, I believe, also helped with
Red Dead. How many rock stars are there?
There's a lot. There's a lot. But that's
you
want
to be surprised at how many of a studio there are. You should look at Ubisoft. I think they have one in like every fucking city.
Yeah.
Ubisoft is.
Oh, God.
Have that international flavor to it.
Yet their game sucks so much more than Rockstar.
Ouch. Amazing. Ouch.
Well, because the issue is that there's no cohesion, I think, with Ubisoft, because you have, like, 40 different studios, and I shit you not, like, with Unity, when I was looking at the credits, I'm like, there's, like, a fucking studio everywhere, and they had, like, everyone's hand was in the fucking cookie jar, just fucking shuffling the cookies around, and it was like, just, like, put 5 hands in there, that's enough.
How many hands should I squeeze in, Matt?
40.
How many hands in? Like, do I need to lube up at all? Or?
Ellie, I know you're prepared. What are you
playing?
Oh, yeah, no. Jesus.
Definitely. I'm so
I realize in
that's
the
a bad segue. Yeah, that's a very bad segue.
I meant that in the case of I know you're prepared for your news and stuff. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way.
Sorry, y'all. You're on a podcast with a bunch of guys. I apologize.
Dude, I love sex, bro.
It's okay. I'm used to this now. You guys, I'm used to talking to you all. I don't have news per se. I have news about the lack of news. Dishonored 2. There is nothing, and I've been so, I check Arcade Studios' Twitter, I probably every couple of days. And I know that sounds like crazy, I don't know if that sounds crazy, I'm so hyped for this game, and I've played Dishonored so many times. I'm streaming after I do this podcast, Dishonored as well. I'm just so hyped for this, and the fact that I haven't heard anything since E3 last year has really gotten me down. And
it's really surprising.
I would have thought at least something. Like, there are a few things after E3 that came out, like just really small, teeny things from E3 that they just released later on. But,
Things, though? Like, a little Bethesda things?
They talked... they spoke a little bit more about the area it was set in. Like, it wasn't really that... Like, they just spoke about where the setting was. And so it's really nothing that they've talked about in terms of the game and how we'll play it and, you know, what it will... Like, there hasn't been really anything to give me an insight on, like, what I'll be playing, what's the storyline, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised they didn't drop at least, like, one, like, little trailer, something kind of similar to the one that we saw at Bethesda's E3 conference, because that gave a lot of information, and I don't think they want to give out too much on it, because I know that Dishonored 1 told I don't want to say an interesting story, because it wasn't, like, amazing, but it Dishonored 2 is really set up to tell a very good story, and I think that's why they're holding back, at least in my opinion, because it could be more personal, because you're playing as Emily, but you also have Corvo, who we all spent, like, a full playthrough with and stuff, and obviously Dishonored has a degree of choice in it between the gameplay and the story, so it's gonna be really fucking cool.
A lot of replayability, just for fact, because you can play as Emily and Corvo, and I think a lot of people will play as Emily first.
See, what's really cool, what's I think is so fucking cool about Dishonored 2 is you have the Emily Corvo, then you have lethal, non-lethal, then that means that you have different endings for each, like...
Yeah.
If they follow the same path as the first Dishonored, that is.
Yeah. It's going to be even... It's going to take even longer to get through everything than it did for Dishonored. Like, for Dishonored, I've played Dishonored probably, like, 6 times.
Holy shit.
I go through it. I love exploring and trying different things and doing low chaos. Like, I'm going to stream later, and it's going to be, like, a ghost, like, no kills, like, shadow game, like, playthrough. And, like, that, like, the fact that you can do that and you have the options and you can change. And then you've got Dishonored 2, and now you've got a different protagonist as well. So you've got those possibilities, and then you've got another person. So you got to do it again with another person, and you can play it a different way. And it just gives you all these options. And I'm excited for it. I'm excited to put all my hours into this game.
And I hope it improves upon the story a lot, because I think there is a lot of, I guess, bad blood in terms of Emily that could really come out into the story. So I'm excited for it too, and we're probably going to hear about it at E3. If we don't, I'll be very surprised.
I'll start a riot.
It's got to be a fault. I don't think they confirmed anything, but it's got to be coming out this fall.
It's got to be. Come on.
It definitely. I don't want to say it definitely is, but I think it would be safe to say it definitely is.
Hopefully.
It's got to be their fall game. They got Doom coming out earlier this year. That's going to be really big. More Fallout 4 DLC, maybe.
What about Fallout 5?
Yeah. People are like, we'll be lucky, but we might see Elder Scrolls 6. I'm like,
no.
Stop the speculation.
You are in for a world of disappointment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't even hype yourself over Elder Scrolls.
I don't know why people are doing it.
Don't even. It's not. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. If it does.
It's not going to happen. It's not. Like, there's no even if it does. There's no
way. I was
going
to say, if it does, I'll quit the podcast, but I didn't want to say that and have it happen. Like,
2016.
I was like, I don't really want to quit the podcast.
See, I think there's going to be a lot of Elder Scrolls, because I think my idea is that they're going to launch ES Legends that night, like they would with Fallout Shelter.
Yeah.
And so, with that said, you're going to need something to kind of fuel that hype. So they'll do something big with Elder Scrolls. Obviously, ES Online isn't going to get that job done. That'll be like a little cherry on top kind of thing. But
yeah, like they did last time.
Yeah,
more like the stem of the cherry on top.
Yeah, that too. And so, I don't know what exactly other Elder Scrolls projects they could do in some form, but Bethesda has shown they can surprise us to some degree. You look at Wolfenstein The Old Blood last year. I think that was a good example of a project that was announced very quickly and turned around and released and was very fun, and they could do something with Elder Scrolls, I guess, like that. What that is, I don't know, but I'm just suggesting ideas, because I think that both Elder Scrolls and Fallout are going to have a pretty big presence, because I was telling Lone this, but it's like, you have Dishonored's really exciting, Doom was very exciting last year, but that'll be out by then. They have exciting games that are going to be published, but I think everyone knows that the most exciting one out of everyone they have is Bethesda Game Studios. I think they acknowledge that to some degree without saying it out loud, and understand that they kind of need to have them have a presence so that they don't have people breathing down their neck constantly about another Bethesda Game Studios game. Because I think pre-Fallout 4 was a complete nightmare, and I think they've been handling it well since then.
Yeah. Anyway.
Feel free to keep talking, because you know what? My garage door is opening, so my dog's gonna bark.
I heard it.
So, yeah.
Everyone, let's listen.
It's stopped now. It's stopped now.
You have a standard-sized garage door? Jerk.
What are you trying to say? Don't insult my garage door. All right, Lone, you can go. And I'll go last.
No, I was just searching how many studios Ubisoft has. Holy fuck. Holy shit. There's like 20. Almost 30, probably.
Yeah, I've noticed, like, on Twitter, where it's like, if you follow one, like, they suggest you follow, like, all of them.
Right? So it's Ubisoft London, where is it? Barcelona, Casablanca, Japan, Malmo, Milan, Montreal. Holy fuck. Anyways.
90% of them are just,
There's one in the Philippines. There's one that was just started in the Philippines.
They're all just responsible for, what's it called? The language change? What is it called?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Localization.
Yes. Yeah. I'm just kidding. They may not be, but it wouldn't surprise me if they were.
I mean, that makes sense.
So, I've been playing Dark Souls. That's a fun game. Do you guys like Dark Souls?
No, the no third one?
Yeah, third one.
Okay. How is the third one? I haven't played it. I like the third. I like Dark Souls a lot.
So apparently, like, I have obviously haven't finished it. But apparently it's a bit shorter probably than past Dark Souls games.
Wow.
I heard it's easier too, but I don't know. I haven't played it.
I think people are just used to Souls now.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. Not so much that it actually is, you know, objectively easier. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm enjoying it for what it is. And me being completely new to the Dark Souls series, like, I haven't played the past ones. So for me, it's still hard, right?
Yeah.
And it's a really, really good looking game too. And it runs phenomenally well. I'm playing it on, like, ultra graphics on my PC. And I barely get any frame drops. I thought, like, it actually recommended me high. And I went ultra. And it's just running perfectly.
How far are you?
Not that far. I'm really not. I'm probably like 5 hours in.
That's not bad. That means you've gotten past a boss or two, right?
Yeah. I'm doing all right.
Do you plan on trying to beat it?
I'm gonna try because I'm doing it as part of a series, so we'll see.
Okay. It's dude. It's such a good feeling. It's worth it. You should try to at least beat one Souls game.
All right. It'll be Dark Souls 3 then, because obviously it's the most recent. And
yeah. Now, 2, in my opinion, is my least favorite. The first one is like, oh, it's so...
Yeah, but the first one is like... It's a masterpiece. It doesn't even run properly. Like, you need to have mods in it for it to work.
I'm saying that's FromSoft's best
game. Now, that's
game.
An example where mods are needed for the game to work, all right?
Yeah.
I didn't...
No,
act like I don't like mods.
I'm not talking to you!
What are you trying to say, Matt? What are you trying to say?
I was just saying that.
I mean, not Matt. Lone.
So, I just want to talk about Bioshock. Can we talk about Bioshock, please?
Hold on. I wanted to just say that Lone, I'm going to let you finish, but Dark Souls 1 is From Software's best game, okay?
No, that but it does not run so well on PC, Matty. Come on finish, now. But...
Yeah.
It doesn't run at all.
I don't care. They made a completely interconnected world where anywhere you stand, you are seeing something that you can go to.
I can accept that. I'm not saying it's a bad game or anything, but it was a
fucking garage door.
It was a very bad port.
I really want to go to Long John Silver's tonight for dinner.
These stores you guys have. What the fuck is Long John Silver's?
It's a fish restaurant.
I was about to say, I think it's a fish restaurant.
Yeah.
You didn't get that from the Silver's?
I didn't mean to derail everything. What?
I was just like, you didn't get the Silvers.
This is how you derail.
Come on down to Long John Silvers. We sell some good seafood.
I guess Noah sounds like a summer.
People who are into what was being talked about are like, fuck! You know, like, you did it again!
we
all right, let's talk about Bioshock now.
I was about to say, before Lone explodes.
No, there's nothing new about Bioshock. So.
Oh, good.
Then why did you, when I asked you what your news was, I went Bioshock as a joke, and you're like, yeah, buddy.
No, I just need to mention Bioshock in every podcast. That's
right.
What happened.
I thought you were talking about how I got on the 2K UK. They were like, you know, post to, hey, how are Booker and Elizabeth doing? It's going to be a good day today. I'm like,
and everyone's like, pumped, and they're like, oh. It's actually Battleborn in NBA. Oh, yeah. What?
NBA 2K17. I'm like, gosh. fuck. What are you doing?
Fuck me. Anyway.
So
that's my news. That I'm disappointed about Bioshock.
We're on to the questions.
No, I didn't go, actually.
Thanks for
remembering me, bro. Some friend.
Some friend you are.
What's your problem?
What's your problem, man?
Man.
You always imitate me when I say it. What's your problem?
What's going on, guys? Maddie here.
Whenever you...
I don't have a lisp. What is wrong with you? Always, what's going on, guys? It's Maddie here. Like,
Doom beta!
Oh my god, 4 was a near perfect game.
Long awaited my review of Fallout 4.
Yeah, no, too accurate, guys.
Matthew, we love you, okay? We do
jump
love you.
Jump.
Yo, no, suck my dick and do another airsoft gun review, you prick.
Yes! Fuck you!
What?
No, don't worry about it. Matt, go ahead.
I need that.
I had a channel that we're not going to name, Matt. We are not going to name this channel.
I'm not that mean.
Can you
there was a channel I had that is going to be remain nameless. I'm sorry. No. I can't go out to you alone or Ellie. But I did airsoft reviews as a fat young Noah, and it was fucking cringeworthy. But we're not. That's all we're gonna say.
Ugh.
But
my jaw hurts.
If those got out, my career would be ruined.
It'd be on the front page.
My career of being on a podcast would be ruined.
So, for me, I have been playing Ratchet and Clank still, because I realized aside from Dark Souls 3, there's really no pressure to play any new games, so I've just kind of stuck with what I've been enjoying. But I made a whole review on that, so I really won't talk about that. But instead, talk about the other thing I'm flipping to, which is the Battleborn beta. This is a game that I've realized staying in the dark on entertainment is really fucking helpful in enjoying something. Just get the premise, watch a video or two, and then play it, and it's, you know, if you're curious still. And it makes things a lot more fun. So that's what I did with Battleborn currently, you know. I knew it was a MOBA, I knew it was like a first-person shooter, and I knew it was from Gearbox. And I watched like one or two videos on it. Wasn't crazy about it, but I tried the open beta, and it's a lot of fun. Now, I'm not a crazy MOBA player, so I can't get into the technicalities of like what
is it,
jungles and ganking and shut the fuck up, okay?
Would like, it be fun with friends? Because I've been kind of looking at
yes,
it too.
It's a lot of fun with friends. I play it with my friends. Obviously, we've mentioned them a million times, especially this podcast. Connor,
well, what do you guys play on?
Right now, we just play on PS4 so that we can play with Brian.
You guys play on PS4 so you can play with Brian?
Yeah.
Like Delaney?
No.
Oh, I was like, shit.
That's not the only Brian I know.
Like the Fallout
4. I don't know who what other fucking Brian's, you know.
It can only be one.
I just think it's kind of ridiculous, you know, you and Connor play, you know, and he has a PC and you guys don't play.
Oh, and by the way, Brian Delaney did not die, okay? He's just gone off Twitter for a while.
He's off Twitter.
And people act like I have a personal tab on his life. Maddie, where'd Brian go? I'm like, oh, here, let me
don't
page,
you?
I'm in his calling.
You have his number.
Where's your butt at, dude?
I have a lot of actors' numbers loan.
Oh, I'm just so popular. My name's Maddie.
Name dropping.
Hey, guys, what's up? So, here's my contact list in my phone.
Hey, here's my business card. Give me a call if you want to collaborate sometime.
Collaborate.
I'm about to do that shit so much at PAX East. I have a fucking stack of business cards.
PAX
right
East
here.
Or
E3.
I gotta remake them.
Email me if you want to give me a review copy. I'm down
don't
to collaborate with anyone.
You don't have your phone number on it, right?
No, fuck no.
Okay, good.
I remember when Maddie sent us the template for the business card. He's like, guys, does this look good?
Yeah,
Maddie. I think the color should be different here, but you're good. He's like, no, I actually like it. Well, fuck you, ask my opinion for.
No, you were telling me to change the text and stuff, and I did. I did.
Did you?
Yes.
I actually ended up, like, all the... Because I remember you showed it to our group chat, and I missed that whole conversation. I was like, damn, I really like doing this sort of thing. Like, and then I was like... Yeah, like, I was, like, looking at your card, and I'm like, okay, no, that's terrible. This needs to be fixed. This
what
needs
the
to be
fuck,
fixed.
Ellie?
And then... No, I didn't like your card. I thought it was shit. So then, anyway, I go on.
No one can see my face right now, but my mouth is hanging wide open and my jaw's
fucking
on the floor.
The truth comes out.
Shit, Ellie. No, fuck.
But, you've been spending too much time with Nissan. It's official.
Nissan has ruined you.
Okay, basically, I was watching you develop the card, and I'm like, okay, good, he fixed this. Next, I'm like, okay, good, he fixed that. And you know what? I liked your card in the end. It was exactly what I would have told you to do.
Right.
I was happy with it. But your original, I did not like.
Fucking shit, man.
Yeah, literally, yeah. She could have said, like, I wasn't a huge fan. It wasn't that good.
I thought
it was shit.
Was shit.
Yeah, I was like, I thought it was shit.
It's an important thing. You need it to be good. You need to look good.
That's how people are going to remember you. They're going to see that and...
Yeah. I do it because I care. I made my
business card look like an ad from the 50s. Uh-huh. I'm not kidding.
It's so cute. I look so adorable. Look at my hair.
That is pretty cool.
I hate it.
I love it.
God.
Yeah. I can't wait to hand it out and they'd be like, did a 5-year-old design this?
I'm
sorry, sir. I'm new to Photoshop. I hope you can still take my business card.
I made it in paint. I'm just kidding. It looks good.
My favorite gaming news of it is something we can all relate to. How about that hype for Final Fantasy 15 Uncovered?
So much.
I missed the podcast the week it happened, and I'm talking about it now. I bought the collector's edition. Fuck yeah. It was like more expensive than Fallout 4's collector's edition, but I don't care. What else was there?
What number Final Fantasy are they up to? Like 33.5?
I just said 15.
Jeez.
Too many. It's too many.
No, there's not. There's not enough.
It's too many.
It's very fun.
Have to start from the first one. And
what's
work
exciting
my way
is that Final Fantasy 15, they have like an anime called Brotherhood. Noah, you and your girlfriend could watch that. It looks really fucking good.
What?
No, he won't watch it unless she recommends it. All right? That's the only way.
I don't think that was.
I don't get how women
work. I don't watch what you want me to watch.
There's also, it comes with Final Fantasy 15 Kingsglaive, which is like a live action movie. It's got, who's that bitch from Game of Thrones that I hate? She's the queen. Cersei? Noah, help me.
Oh, Cersei's.
Yes.
Cersei.
Fuck her. Yeah. But she's in that.
Oh, he was saying it the whole time.
Ned Stark is in there.
Listen to Ellie.
Aaron Paul is in there. That's cool too. So they have really cool voice actors for this. Yeah, you're interested now.
Your car would be better if you listen to Ellie. Yeah.
And then they have a giant Kingdom Hearts, yeah. Or not Kingdom Hearts, a Play Arts Kai figure. Really fucking cool. It's of Noctis, the main protagonist.
Oh, Noctis. Yeah.
I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm sure someone who is more weeby than me will correct me on that.
Matt, my body pillow and I were talking, and here we go.
Hey, man, body pillows are good for your health, they say.
Like when they can stand straight up on their own because they're all sticky, or
what the fuck?
What the fuck are you guys talking about?
That didn't get it.
I was just saying I'm excited for Final Fantasy 15.
Okay.
Yeah, the combat's a lot like Kingdom Hearts. I played the Platinum demo. That was fun. The music in the game is fantastic. I'm excited. And it comes out September 30th. And what's really funny is during this event, basically what happened was GameSpot completely leaked like the big things, like the release date and the demo before the event happened. And they called them out on stage. Because like what happened was that Greg Miller and Tim Geddes hosted the event.
Greg Miller?
Yes. They're everywhere. I don't know how the fuck they do it. It's insane. It's almost disgusting. These guys.
Well, that's probably why he likes the Vita, because he's always on the go.
Ah. That was good.
Well done.
God, if we ever have him on the podcast, we're going to have to act like you haven't.
Like, Noah, I think you're kind of a dick. Like, that's what he's going to say.
What was I saying now? Oh, yeah. They hosted the event. And what happened was, like, the big reveal for the release date was going to be when they pressed this button. And the ongoing joke that was kind of cringy was, like, Tim wanted to press the button. And each time he went to do it, like, they'd stop him. And so one time, like, he went to press the button. And Greg was like, no, I heard GameSpot press the button early, but we're not sure. Yeah. And this is in front of, like, 100,000 people. Like, online and in the live. Yeah. And I'm
just lost their jobs in that.
Yeah, I was about to say, what's really fucked is that they're on GameSpot like all the time like doing like kind of funny collaborations with GameSpot, so I'm sitting there like, don't burn your bridges, big guy, like, fuck.
Wait, I misunderstood. I thought you said Game Trailers, because Game Trailers recently shut down
GameSpot.
No, my bad. I see people didn't lose their job.
You know, the Game Trailers guys have their own YouTube channel, and they're making a stupid amount of money on Patreon, like.
That's pretty cool.
Easy. I'll figure it out.
I don't care alone.
I'm here.
Oh, you do care.
What are they called? Like, we are.
Easy Allies or some shit?
Easy Allies is what it is, not we are. My bad. Might be. My goof, bro. Are you getting those
numbers?
You're
done goofed. You're goofed and gobbed.
You getting those numbers long?
Yeah. Do you know how much that makes?
Move on to the questions.
I don't know. I mean.
$36,000 a month.
I make that in a.
On Patreon. Dang. Fuck.
How do you
crazy
how do
man?
You, how do you do a Patreon without having people hate you?
Well, no, because people wanted to see people, those guys.
I'm just saying,
Maddie. People will only hate you because it's you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What the fuck does that mean?
What the fuck, clear, Matt?
You only hate them if it's you. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's do the question.
Let's watch it so that you can get your ice cream. Remember that joke, Noah?
I'm not getting ice cream. I'm just fucking hungry. I might go to a bar and get some wings, dude.
Might go to the bar.
Now that I'm 21, dude, I could do that.
Get some brews.
Some brews. And they'll be like, can I see your ID? And I'm like, I don't have it. I left it in my car.
Left it at home.
Yeah.
So our first question comes from Scooter. How do you continue to look so young after 40 years?
What?
That was the personal question I told you guys about.
We're not 40, though. How would we know the answer?
You're not 40, Lone.
Or are you?
See, what I do is I bathe in pineapple juice and dry sand. I combine the two. It makes for kind of a mush. And then I eat a bunch of bath salts.
No, don't recommend that, okay?
That's about it. Rub chapstick on every orifice.
That's hot.
I was just putting on chapstick earlier, so now I'm uncomfortable. I would quote what our guest who was originally Ability Drain, she said to me when she told us her age, when she had us guess it alone, I was just like, damn. Like, you know, You look
she's
bullshitting. Way,
she's
yeah.
not.
Yeah, I'm like, you look way younger. She's like, yeah, I bathed in the blood of virgins, so I'm going to go with that. So.
So she's after you then, right? So.
Oh! I was going to make a joke about Lone, but of course Noah got to me first. I was going to say I cut Lone's nuts off each time I want to take a fucking bath, but because you're a kangaroo. You know, you reproduce your penis and stuff, right?
Yep, that's how it works.
That's how kangaroos work.
That's how it works.
Ellie, how do you look so young after 40 years?
A lot of gummy bears and sour ones.
I heard that.
And my technique.
And carrots.
I look way younger because of the gummy worms. And, you know, it's all about...
What kind
of
gummy worms do I need to get? Is it the sour, bright ones?
You can't do any less than about 5 tons worth of gummy products in a week.
A day. In a week. Okay.
In a week. Yep. No, in a day you'd probably die. So in a week.
In a week you wouldn't die for 5 tons.
Yeah, eating 5 tons. That's a gummy bear every second.
It just works.
Fucking
the human body is surprisingly.
What?
I was gonna say it's surprisingly resilient, but my brain just shut off.
You gotta just have a lot of candy.
And that was a terrible question. That was an absolute.
All right, let's move on. Why did you pick that, Matt?
It was funny. As Noah would say, great banter. So
I didn't know I said that.
I said Lone. Is your name Lone?
Oh, at least it's Noah would say.
Huh?
It's great banter.
Huh?
Fuck it.
Huh?
All right, let's move on. Next question,
Noah,
dude.
I get it.
I get ice cream.
Yeah, I get it.
I gotta get
you.
Ice cream and a brew.
It's the idea of that. Ross Cuth asks, are you expecting the Fallout 4 DLCs to repeat the routine that they went through for these past few where you have like the... You know, decent-sized automatron, little tiny Wasteland Workshop, and you got, like, the big DLC to end it all. You think they're going to do that when they do the next phase?
It's really hard to say. I'd like to think that they'll have... Like, I've always said that I think they'll have 4 big pieces of DLC like they've had in the past, including Far Harbor. Mm. It just depends how they decide to release it. I think we'll get to that magic 4 number, though. I hope so. I'm pretty confident. But I don't know what kind of...
I'm on the same page as you. I think the little DLCs were to delay while they kind of start pre-production on like all the other new ones and obviously wrapping up Far Harbor.
Yeah. That's why I don't want to judge the DLCs thus far because they're just warming up.
Do you think they're going to lead into 2017, though? Do you think it's just going to...
I think they will be releasing content in 2017, without doubt.
Yeah.
How long do you think it's going to go on for, then?
Maybe...
I don't think it would go into 2018.
Yeah, no, I don't think it would. I think probably 2017, that's it.
Yeah.
Like the rest of 2017, or you think like...
Probably, I don't know about the rest. I don't know. I have a weird feeling it's like mid-year 2017, that's it. Last.
So like right around the next Bethesda E3 conference, so they can announce something new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then that's it. It'll be like whatever. New thing. Whatever else they have coming up.
I'm very interested to see how this is all going to play out. Because obviously as primarily Bethesda YouTubers, you gotta know what you're working with, how long you have.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to see how 2017 looks. Anyway, Brandon Bennett, I see Noah just intentionally being quiet.
Noah just wants ice cream and a bread.
I actually didn't hear the question.
Are you expecting the DLCs to repeat routine?
I don't. What do you mean by that? Repeat routine? No, repeat routine. What does that even mean?
Like, are you expecting them to be like the same? You got the tinier kind of automatron, then the wasteland workshop.
I don't know. It's kind of been doing that already. Skyrim kind of did that. With the Hearthstone was kind of the smaller DLC of that, and then you had the bigger ones. It's not such a bad thing. It wouldn't surprise me if it kept going like that.
All right. Next question is from Brandon Bennett. If there was a Fallout-like nuclear apocalypse and you could take three items into the vault, what would they be?
We answered this. I swear we answered this.
I thought so too, but I tossed it in there just in case.
Do you want to ignore this one? You can ignore it because I remember Noah did this whole like duct tape weird MacGyver thing.
Wait, repeat that?
Oh, fuck, he's not even listening, bro.
I'm sorry. The question. It cut out. I'm sorry. Repeat it.
It was if there was a Fallout-like nuclear apocalypse and you could take three items into the vault.
Oh, okay, the three items. The three items. Okay, yeah.
Ice cream, brews, and a comb.
And a comb. Some sushi attack on Titan and my girlfriend, yeah.
Get it? Because she's an object, according to this question.
Wow! Holy shit.
That was actually in the last podcast. That exact same object joke was made, all right?
Oh.
I guess I'm not funny to you, Lone. I fucking hate you.
You're not. I fucking hate you, too.
Everyone always thinks I hate Lone. I'll make a joke about him in a video, and they'll be like, Maddie really hate Lone? He's such a dick.
You can really be more nice here. Go home.
I'm like, what happens when you become best friends with someone? You roast them a lot more. That's what happens.
Oh, you guys are best friends.
You're not best friends with someone if you don't insult them on a daily basis.
We're online best friends. It's true. Right.
Online best friends.
There are like 4 or 5 days will go by where I don't talk to Matt at all. And then the first thing I'll say to him is like, I hope you like your throat tonight, like skating on hockey. You know, it's like shit like that.
No, I love it because Maddie and I are always talking in the group chat with, you know, us three. And no one ever says anything.
I'm serious about it.
Huh?
What do you mean?
Huh? Oh, it was a joke.
I thought I got roasted.
God damn it.
That's like me in our group chat, Maddie. Like, I'm always like, I don't even give a shit. I'm like, yeah, fuck you. Like, yeah. I'm like that too. But I love you guys. You guys are awesome.
It's great banter.
I'll just jump in and just say whatever. Like, I won't even bother. I give you credit for catching up. Like, when I click on that group chat and I see like 159 messages, I'm like, no, I don't even know why
I scroll, but I do. And you know what? It's not worth it. Every time I do it, it's just not.
Topic hopping. I can't stand it. It's like all of a sudden Trex will come in with some fucking meme, and then Nowhere Man will be serious, and then Nissan will be like, okay. And then
that's what I try.
It'll just be like all me just insulting Nissan for like 20 minutes straight.
Yeah. I try and do that in fucking our group chat.
Will come in and be like, I fucking love you guys. I don't know why.
I fucking love you guys. Love hot. Like,
I do that in the group chat I'm in with you, Matt, with like the other Sugar Bomb developers and stuff. Except now I've started to roast Rob. I don't know how much he likes it, but I'll like give him shit. Rob is Vault of Daedalus, for those who may not know. Yeah. But I'll give him shit.
So, like, when we invite him on the podcast as well, he's like, nah.
So, yeah, he was like, no, I don't want to. I'll be boring. Like, Rob, stop being a fucking bitch.
That's what I said. I was like,
you say no.
I was like, you're a pussy, bro. He's like, no, it's fine. He was so like proper about it. And I'm just like, wow, I'm such a 20-year-old.
Just tell him there'll be tea on the podcast and he'll come running.
That same stereotype joke was made on episode 5 alone. Garrett Irrelia.
Oh my god. Move on to the next question.
This one comes from Vault Tech News. What was your initial reaction when you saw Noah get stuffed into a locker in 10th grade, Maddie? Remember that, Noah?
I love how Maddie picks a question for
that. I'm kidding. The actual question is, what do you think about No Man's Sky, and do you think 2K and Gearbox will announce a new Borderlands at E3?
I would love a new Borderlands.
We are doing a playthrough. Hint, hint, hint.
And then No Man's Sky is pretty fucking big. That's all I have
to
say.
Didn't they promote that like as if it was going to be a multiplayer, but it isn't? Is that what the thing? It is. There was No Man's Sky, or there was another one.
All I got from No Man's Sky is just this game that never ends.
Yeah.
That's unappealing to me, because the game, for me to be appealing, I have to beat it.
That's the thing.
I like to beat games. That's why I play them.
Otherwise, you don't feel like you've actually played the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel like I'm just a player. I'm being played, technically.
You're being played.
Yeah, the game never ends. Like, I think Time Magazine did a piece on that game, and it was like, it would take like so many billion years to actually fully explore No Man's Sky. So,
that's fucking ridiculous.
I think.
It would be very repetitive then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just procedurally generated. What's different with every area?
It's not going to be unique for, you know, the billion years that you're playing it. It's going to be the same thing over and over again.
I'm very curious to see this game. And the reason I say that is because it looks very unappealing to me, personally.
And if it is single player, it's single player, right?
Yeah, I think that's the thing.
I thought
it was going to be multiplayer, like I can invite my friends in.
That's no.
English.
How are you supposed to put so much time into a game that's like that on your own? Like, I feel like you need the multiplayer
Especially when it's got the same thing about Fallout.
But I'm saying that.
But it's not, you know, you like said, quoted, you know, billions of years worth of gameplay.
What I was saying is that it's kind of, I thought it was going to be multiplayer because it's got that Minecraft kind of thing to it, where I thought like it would be an optimal experience with friends online. Hold on, I got to look this up now.
Yeah.
Is No Man's Sky. That's the first thing that comes up, multiplayer.
With Fallout, like you're actually, like, there's a story and you're following it. Like, if it's, like, No Man's Sky doesn't seem to have that. It's just a,
Let's see here.
And you do stuff. And do that for, like, a long time.
No Man's Sky is effectively a single-player experience, but then the next headline I see says No Man's Sky will have traditional multiplayer.
What the f-
We'll have traditional multiplayer, but what, GameSpot? Load. Hold on. Keep talking.
Maybe there'll be like an option like Minecraft. You have single player and you have your multiplayer.
Then why don't they just say that? Why don't developers probably not at launch. I hate that.
See, the thing is, that's the point. That's the selling point. Like multiplayer. Play with your friends. I don't know whether maybe they're just using that to get people to get the game.
One component of No Man's Sky is the traditional multiplayer mode. Murray told us, though, he's keeping tight-lipped about what this will entail. There's this thing, which I'm not going to talk about now, that is a plan for multiplayer and for people to have a more traditional multiplayer experience within the game. That's something we'll deal with further down the line that is exciting, but that is not what's the core of the game right now. We have a laser-sharp focus on what we're going to ship with, basically. Though No Man's Sky will have some form of multiplayer eventually. It's not a game about forming a clan or allegiances. Murray did admit the game will have some MMO-esque mechanics as it relates to meeting other people in the game's fast world, but your overall goal is to travel to the center of the universe. Once you do so, something happens that is worthwhile seeking out.
Is it?
Yeah, I was about to say, that's my cynical response to that. Will it be worth it?
Really? Like, I'll put all this effort in, I'll finally get to the center of the universe, and what? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
What is it?
I mean, could be good. I'm not going to discredit it yet, but so
you could
it
say
sounds
it was
like
near perfect.
I fucking hate you. Because see, I make the joke, but then YouTube is the home of places that you bring jokes that never die. It's like
everywhere else on the internet?
Yeah, but I don't get it. Like in real life jokes die in you know.
Well, okay, like the internet has a place where jokes die. It's called Facebook.
So should I, like, post the status?
Noah would understand this. It's like Funhouse and the 2016 joke. It's just been going on for ages.
But it's like, doesn't it get, like,
Okay.
Well, I'm not even speaking for myself. I don't give a fuck. But like,
you guys used to watch Inside Gaming, and every time they had the thing on Friday, they would all go yes, and they would play the Street Fighter M. Bison yes.
Oh clip. Yeah. I remember
like, jokes like that. They just people find them funny every time.
It'll die when Elder Scrolls 6 comes out, and I'll say that's
oh, it won't. No, it won't. On your Elder Scrolls 6 video, I'm telling you right now, your review, it'll happen.
Fuck.
Because if it doesn't happen, I'll make it happen.
I hate you.
Anyway.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, see, like, I can understand the IGN too much water not dying out because it sounds so stupid. But to me, saying Fallout 4 is near perfect during its launch period, that doesn't sound like a heinous crime.
In the eyes of the Fallout community.
In the eyes of New Vegas lovers and
yeah,
Fallout 4
you know what's funny
haters.
When people talk about Fallout? They're like, yeah, Fallout's a great game, but it's not a good Fallout game. So I'm like, so a great game, so a great Fallout game can't be a great game? Like, I don't get it. Anyway, move on.
Okay. Gavin Burns 517, if there is one game you would like to go back and play on the 360 today that came out before 2010, what would it be? So, essentially what he's asking here is...
Why 2010? That's an odd...
I guess maybe because that's like before Skyrim and stuff, you know, that could be like a shoe-in, you know, like, oh, dude, at least for me, I'd be like, oh, dude, I like Skyrim, but, you know, so before 2010, didn't Doom come out during 2010?
What game before 2010?
Or
what?
Rage, not Doom. Fuck, I keep fucking shit up.
Are we asking, like, what our favorite game was?
It says, if there was one game that you could go back, no, it says, I'll read word for word. If there was one game you would like to go back and play on Xbox 360 today that came out before 2010, what would it be? And based on the way he's wording it, it's like the first time you're ever playing it.
Yeah, okay, EA Skate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. An easy one.
You know what,
GTA 4. Yeah. Or GTA 4.
For me, I'm going to have an interesting answer here.
All
right. Lord of the Rings Conquest.
What the fuck?
What is that?
What is
obscure
what
game?
What is that?
Why don't you just play Sacred Combat?
No, because Lord of the Rings Conquest, I fucking loved, man. If you guys, I guess you haven't played it. That was a stupid question. It's Battlefront in the Lord of the Rings universe, and I love Lord of the Rings. And it was by the same Pandemic Studios, and they made their own Lord of the Rings version of Battlefront, and it was so fucking good. And it came out only on 360 and PS3. And I played it so much. And it was such a good concept because it showed that, like, the Battlefront idea could go to other games. And that's why I'm so fucking mad that Pandemic ended up shutting down or whatever. Because they could have been doing this for so many other IPs. Because, you know, you'd play as, like, Gandalf or whatever, Frodo and all this stuff. And it was so much fun, man. I know. Wait till you read the comments on this video. There will be a group of people who will agree with me. That Lord of the Rings Conquest was so fucking good.
I got a better answer.
Okay.
Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah.
That game I would go back and play like 1,000 times through. That was a phenomenal game. And if you disagree, you're a sin.
It's not that I disagree. It's more so that like it just introduces mechanics that are in all games today, which is very... noteworthy.
It pretty much set the platform for all Assassin's Creed games, and I think because it reinvented the wheel so much for Assassin's Creed, at least, people don't really view new Assassin's Creed as being a good game or as good as Assassin's Creed 2.
True.
But I love that game. And, of course, Bioshock. I mean, I'll just fucking throw that in there.
Yeah, KOTOR wasn't on the 360. The only one that was coming to 360 got cancelled. Microsoft! What the fuck?
What about Modern Warfare 2? That was a solid Call of Duty.
And
that was.
Like 3 years later, it was.
What do you mean 3 years later, it was?
COD 4 was good, too.
Because I liked Modern Warfare 2 once it aged. And I was like, wow, they actually...
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I don't know. I don't know how to...
What do you mean, though? Because when you go back and play the multiplayer now, it's just fucked. Like, you
found
the game
really now, but
that's
because...
Like, but, okay, 3 years ago, go back and play it. Because it was still an old game 3 years ago. And yeah. it was fine, you know, it worked, yeah. But like it was definitely fun. I think it was fun because you felt nostalgic about it. Well, you know, I don't know.
I mean, this was during our montage days where you'd flip between and do a multi-COD montage. And
they show my quick scopes.
Yeah, literally. And I actually went on World at War today for like gameplay for like a quick little update thing, and like fucking Trex messaged me. He's like making a quick scope montage, dude.
Making a quick scope.
Like, he can't do anything under his watch without him trolling you. He's a typical 14-year-old. I want to stab him.
Trex, I love Trex. He's my favorite.
He's awesome.
Trex is gonna listen to me like, no, I'm kidding.
He's been mentioned.
I talk to Trex all the time though. Every time I see him in a stream, I say what's up.
I like Trex too. I just want to strangle him.
Yeah, same.
That's what I gotta say about all my mods though. They're great guys.
Even Noah, even the troll Noah, who goes into your Fallout 4 streams with Connor. And Connor's there reading the fucking messages like, oh, dude, this so-and-so asks, what's your favorite Fallout? Blah, 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 blah. It's like, all right. Good question.
He'll get used to it.
I was joking. I was trying to make a joke, but it didn't.
Ellie, what game before 2010 would you play
again? Oh, fucking cut me off.
Do I have to limit it to 360 because I didn't really play?
PS3 is fine too.
PS3, PS2. I actually skipped over PS3, to be honest with you. Be completely honest with you.
Playing?
I went.
Ellie, what were you? What would you want to go back and play?
You know why?
Because Dishonored was 2012. So you didn't fully skip over it.
No, not really, but like. Like I played everything on PC. I went from PS2 to PC basically, and I skipped over PlayStation 3 and plays it and like all that because my younger brother played it, and obviously it was his thing.
Gotta be different.
And I went from PS2 and I took the PS2 after he moved on, and I stuck with those games for ages. Like I played I played the shit out of all the Grand Theft Autos and like all the WWE games and all that shit, and then I stuck with that, and then I went straight from that to Oblivion. Someone bought Oblivion PC as a present for me and my brother, and ever since that day, that was when I fell in love with PC gaming, and I became like obsessed with this game. And then
the monster I am now.
You know, like, yeah, and I still play it, and I still want to play it, and it, ever since then, I've just been, I will play it over and over again. And,
I probably would have picked Oblivion, but Lord of the Rings Conquest, man. That fucking game. I was the archer class, for those who were wondering.
Nerd.
Anyway, that wraps up this week's Ham Radio Podcast, episode 58. Ellie, thank you for joining us on such short notice and being fantastic as always.
Yeah. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Of course. Hey, Lone, thanks for joining us. You're a fucking loser.
Yeah, fuck you.
Fuck you, you dirty American.
Oh, shit. Considered racist.
I actually love you guys.
We usually like to let the guests close out the podcast alone. If you'd like to do it for us.
You're done.
Oh, shit.
I'm the new permanent Aussie on the podcast.
Ellie, please end the podcast and shut these idiots up.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. And I've had a lot of fun. Thank you guys for having me on. And yeah, well, next week, see you guys later.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.